Welcome to Harvey County Digital Talk, a program brought to you by Harvey County Digital. Harvey County Digital Talk, where everything we talk about is the only thing you want to know about local matters that matter. I am your host, Lance Gormley. Our sponsor for this episode is Hall's Tree Service. Locally owned and operated, Hall's Tree Service has been exceeding and surpassing customer demands in Newton and the surrounding area for over two decades. Larry and his crew are guaranteed to work hard for you. There's no tree too tall, no job too small. Call Halls at 316-772-1919. Remember, there's no tree too tall, no job too small. Call Halls at 316-772-1919. That's Larry Hall with Halls Tree Service. Our guest today is Stephen Owens. Stephen is the 74th House District Representative in Topeka. For those listening that don't know, a large portion of Harvey County is in the 74th District. So Stephen may very well be your state representative. Even if he's not, if you live in Harvey County, you probably know who this guy is. So without further ado, let's welcome to the program Representative Stephen Owens. Stephen, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Lance. My pleasure to be here and talk about these really important constitutional amendments that are on the ballot here next week.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it. I know I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I know you're not here, and I know you're meeting me by phone, and I just want to say I appreciate you reserving the time to be here.
Hey, absolutely happy to do that. This is, you know, elections are so incredibly important, and the more we can do to help people be educated and make informed decisions, the better our government works. So I'm happy to do it.
Awesome. I think that's why you and I get along so good.
That's great. Okay,
so since voting has begun, I know that lots of times the focus really hones in on who the governor's going to be, or you know, if there's a contentious race locally, maybe who might be your representative or respective senator. But a lot of times there's not a lot of attention that comes to constitutional amendments unless, you know, like the one we just had. But all that being said, there are two constitutional amendments that people are going to have the opportunity to go out and vote on this November. And I've been getting a lot of calls from people asking me questions about these two constitutional amendments. And it, you know, it dawned on me, well, maybe we should be doing something where we're reaching out and talking to a professional on the matter, and that would be you, just to kind of give a little bit to people in Harvey County about what these amendments are about, what's the differences in them, and then could you just kind of educate the audience on, well, what are these two constitutional amendments even about?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Lance. And again, thanks for the opportunity. You know, both of these constitutional amendments, I personally voted to put on the ballot. As you may or may not know, or the listening audience may or may not know, to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot, it requires a two-thirds majority in the House and a two-thirds majority in the Senate to get on that ballot. So that's 84 in the House and 27 in the Senate to be put to a vote of the people. And how great is that, that the people have a say-so in how they want their government to be ran. So first one is HCR 5014, and HCR stands for House Concurrent Resolution 5014. And basically, this is an amendment to allow legislative oversight of state agency rules and regulation processes that have been used to make laws without going through the legislature. We all know that it's the legislature's responsibility, the legislative branch and executive branch, to make laws. It is not state agencies' right to make a law or to make a rule that has the force and effect of law.
Okay.
What we've seen, especially during the pandemic, right, is we saw state agencies making unilateral laws in the name of public safety, in the name of this, that, or the other. And quite literally, the legislature was powerless to do anything about it.
Okay.
And it was very, very challenging for many of us legislators to come to the realization that we have no real mechanism other than you know, passing a law to override a rule and regulation of state agency. And so what this does is this says, you know, look, in the event that this happens, that there is a law that is, or a rule that is made that has the force and effect of law that we believe should be vetted through the legislature, that with a majority vote in the House and in the Senate, that rule is revoked.
Okay. So that's a I did. You kind of explained it in a little more detail. I did generally know some of that. I kind of had just drawn a conclusion that this amendment is not really partisan necessarily. That if there was a Republican governor, let's say, in office, and then these organizations are doing things that are not legal or maybe don't have the authority to do that, that this protects the people from any party or rule just taking over and doing what they want to do. Basically?
Right, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep, and this allows, just again, it's checks and balances. And I'm a firm believer that in government, the more checks and balances we have, generally the better government. Because if we have too much concentrated power in one area, that's where the people get the wrong end of the deal.
Yes.
So anytime we can have additional checks and balances to ensure that these regulations, these rules that are created that have the force and effect of law, have a mechanism to where we can overturn those in rather simple form. Because again, it's all about protecting the people.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I'll tell you a little secret. I went and voted already. And I'm actually really excited for being able to vote for this amendment, because I personally view it like you, where if there is ever an opportunity to give the people more control or say or ability to have an impact or be participatory in their process, in their local government, their state government, that's you can't beat that. I mean, who would want for that to be the case?
This truly isn't a partisan issue. I mean, governors will come and go, right?
Yeah.
That's just part of it. But bureaucracy is what lasts forever. That 30-year-old deputy secretary, 30-year tenure deputy secretary that's been there forever. The 40-year tenured bureaucrat that works within a state agency that is literally making laws, that we have no ability, truly easy ability, I should say, to overrule. Literally, bureaucracy is forever. So regardless of who the governor is, without this measure, we would continue to see rules and regulations with less accountability and oversight.
Very good. Very good. If we're talking about that one just in general, it seems that, like, for me, I see a lot of the pros, and I know there's always some con. So what's one thing that you could see as possibly problematic in the future with this?
So the opposition feels that governor, because the governor is elected, and the governor is ultimately the CEO of every state agency, that by passing this amendment, we're relegating some of their authority, that we're diminishing the authority that they have.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the argument against it, is that we're taking some of the governor's authority. And I say, well, to some extent, you're right. But while the governor is technically the CEO of every state agency, they're not involved in the inner workings of every state agency.
Yes.
They're not consulted on every rule and regulation. They're not consulted on every decision that is made. And so the legislature is the one that is most readily available and keenly aware of when these are made, because we hear directly from our constituents.
Yeah.
As a representative, there are 125 of us in the state. We hear from the people in our communities on a regular basis, good, bad, and indifferent. And I don't know when the last time you tried to get a hold of the governor and share your concern about a regulation with her.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
But even if you tried, you'd find that it's impossible.
Well, you'd find yourself
you'd
find yourself being directed to the department head of the department you're complaining about.
except for you'd never get to the department head. You'd get to some public affairs person within that.
Yeah.
And so again, we are closest to the people.
Yeah.
I think that should be part of our responsibility is to listen and then address these issues as they come up.
Awesome. Okay, so that was one of them. That was one of the constitutional amendments that we were going to have. But tell me about the other one. I think this is the one that most people actually do have questions about, because the first one that we just explained, And I want to go back to that. You know, there's for any Democrat or listening right now who thinks that, in my personal opinion, I'm just going to say it, that thinks that this constitutional amendment somehow hurts them. I just want you to think about a time in which maybe there was a Republican governor that was doing some things that you absolutely thought were not the way we should go, and then maybe it had something to do with some of those state agencies. And if that's the case, yeah, this really does protect both Republicans and Democrats from government overreach at a agency level. And I think yeah, even on a national level, there's people that are really starting to talk about that. So I'm glad that we're hitting something here in Kansas with it already.
Absolutely. Remember, unelected bureaucrats, right? That they are the ones that have the ultimate control in many instances without answering to the voter,
yeah,
without a mechanism for them to be replaced, if you will, for doing so. Elections are so incredibly important, and that kind of brings us right into the next constitutional amendment, which is HCR 5022. And this amendment ensures that our county sheriff remains an elected position. So back to what we were talking about, unelected bureaucrats. So imagine if it was just your county commission that appointed a sheriff. I've always believed that our sheriff is really, truly our last line of constitutional defense.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
They're the ones that are the last line of enforcing. And the people should have a say-so in who that person is.
Yes.
And there is one county, Riley County, that back in the 70s went to a joint law enforcement operation and eliminated the position of a sheriff.
See, so not to stop you, when you say this in layman's terms, what you're saying is that basically, if it was Harvey County, our Harvey County commissioners, the three of them, got together and decided we're just going to do away with the sheriff, and now going forward, the chief of police is the person that's the top law enforcement person in our county.
Yep, and that's okay. What happened in Riley County.
Okay,
is they created a joint law enforcement organization. Okay. There was another county, Johnson County, last year, was contemplating making the sheriff an appointed position. Mm. Instead of giving the people a vote on who their sheriff was, I assume because they were frustrated with their current sheriff, who's quite vocal. But instead of that, they were saying, well, maybe we'll just do away with the election and we'll appoint that sheriff. We'll hire him just like a city hires a police chief.
Mm.
Okay? That is where this really raised the issue. And this piece of legislation, this constitutional amendment, was brought to us by the Kansas Sheriff's Association. So this is fully supported, endorsed, and encouraged by the Kansas Sheriff Association. I spoke with our sheriff, Chad Gay, and some of you might have seen the op-ed that I wrote a couple of weeks ago, but he gave me permission to share that he absolutely very much supports this amendment. He feels that the elected system is a great system where people elect the last line of defense against the constitutional would-be violators of our constitutional right, and that we need to ensure that the sheriff remains an elected position instead of another unelected bureaucrat in office.
Yeah. And then I go back to the kind of a partisan thing here. Do you see a lot of opposition to this? I mean, this would not change what Riley County is currently doing per se,
no,
right? If those people to go elect their... No, that's right, because in there, it only affects going forward. It doesn't affect Riley County
that's
back.
Right.
Okay.
That's
yes,
correct.
It's not retroactive.
That's correct. And
okay.
So the only opposition that I have heard is that some say that this is micromanaging, you know, county officials are taking away local control, because county officials or county commissioners are elected, and if they chose to go to an appointment system or go down that route, whatever that would take to accomplish that, that we're taking that ability away from them. That's the only opposition that I have heard.
I hear that, but that doesn't set that for just hearing that right off does not set well with my stomach. right? It's almost like that argument. If you were trying to make that argument to me right now, which I know you're not, but if you were, I think I would probably have a big problem with that thinking. So is this turning into a partisan issue again, where one side says don't do it, the other side says do it, and somehow or another there's no consensus that can be made?
Yeah, so there is, I would say that there's some partisan, again, like you, I haven't heard much about it.
Okay.
About this one especially. What I have heard is that some people are just saying vote no on them both. Just that it's another constitutional amendment. We don't need to change the Constitution. Just vote no. Okay. So there has been a little bit of a push out there just from the vote no crowd of just voting no.
Yeah, we're just going to vote no. Yeah.
That's right. But it's hard to argue. I mean, especially on this one, in my mind, there's really no valid argument. We already elect our sheriffs. Some could say, well, it's not a problem. Why are we addressing it? Well, that's because it is a problem. It has been a problem. And we need to ensure that our sheriff remains an elected position.
I agree. Well, that's really why I had you come on, and I appreciate you explaining what's going on with these two constitutional amendments. You know, I have no desire to try to tell anybody today whether their candidate's not the one to vote for and mine is, or vice versa, because I think most people kind of have their mind made up on that. But when it came to these constitutional amendments, it just felt like a really, really good way to be able to explain to people in the community what's happening so they can be informed, and then they can go out and they can vote as informed citizens. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say along those same lines that you know, it is important. We're looking at changing forever our Constitution. But when you look at the Constitution that we want to have in Kansas, which is one for the people, by the people, where the people have more representation and more oversight of their government, both of these constitutional amendments accomplish that.
Well,
I would also add, just for your listeners, for those that may not already follow me, you can follow me on my social media page on Instagram and Facebook. Just Google Rep.Owens, Facebook.com/Rep.Owens, Instagram.com/Rep.Owens. And I put a lot of things out on my social media pretty regularly. I've talked about these constitutional amendments a couple of times. You can also go to StephenOwens.com, StephenOwens.com, and sign up for my newsletter. I send out newsletters pretty regularly, and especially during the session. So I would just encourage, the more people we have engaged, the more people we have involved in government, the better our government is truly representative of the people.
Amen to that. Well, he gave you his information. You should sign up for a newsletter. I can say that I do, and I'm very informed because of, especially during legislative season, Stephen. Because I don't know of many that do go to the lengths that you do to keep people informed. And I know that I've known you for a while now, and I know that even if somebody is not in your district, that you will still gladly help them if they have questions.
100%.
You know,
so. I like to tell people I am, you know, the Republican representative for anybody that needs one, especially if they don't have one. But I'm here to help regardless, and here to serve. So if I can be of any assistance to anybody, you guys feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. Well, you're loved and appreciated, Stephen. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right. You have a great day, and thanks for the opportunity.
All right. There you have it, folks. Straight from the mouth of Representative Stephen Owens to your ears. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you are more informed now than you were before. Good day, good night, or good riddance. Either way, we hope to catch you next time. Tune in or tune out.